have a church Bible. We're going to read from Romans chapter 1, and it's on page 939 of the church edition. Page 939, Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also, who are in Rome. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Andy, and Happy New Year to you all. It's great to be at the start of a new year, isn't it, looking ahead. And I wonder what you are hoping for at the start of this new year. As you look ahead to 2022 and all the possibilities and the opportunities of a new year, what is it that you have set your hopes on for this year? What is it you're dreaming about? What is it that you're prioritising at the start of 2022? Are there particular things you're hoping to achieve? Is there an area of life you want to see improvement in? A new skill to master? Friendships that you want to see deepened? How about your spiritual life? What do you want to be the priority at the start of this new year as you seek to follow Jesus? Well, the book of Romans is a wonderful place for us to be spending some time both today and in the coming weeks as we think about that question, about getting our spiritual priorities in order for the year ahead. Because this letter gets right to the heart of what it really means to live for Jesus day by day. To live in the light of the good news, the gospel news of God's Son, Jesus. Now, like many of the New Testament letters, it's written to a church, a particular church, in this case, the church in Rome, so a group of Christians there. And it's from one of the early church leaders, Paul. And he's writing to encourage them in their faith, to help them really get to grips with what it means to live out their lives as followers of Jesus in the culture of Rome in their day, which of course was a multicultural place where the Roman Empire ruled, where Caesar was in charge, and where there was great military might. It was a place of great power and influence. Now, our cultural context here in Sheffield is different. But as we come to listen to what Paul has to say to them, our hope and prayer and our expectation is that God will be equipping us to live for him more fully and faithfully as we hear what he has to say. So let me pray that that would be our experience as we hear his word in Romans 1 this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are God of all times and all places. And we pray at the start of this new year that you would be equipping us to love Jesus more fully and to live for him more faithfully. Lord, through your word this morning, by the power of your Spirit, change us, transform us, and give us your priorities in our hearts for this year. For your glorious name's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, today we're primarily going to be learning from Paul's God-given priorities that come through in these early verses in Romans. And we're going to see that Paul himself is devoted to serving Jesus and his gospel, and that he's devoted to sharing Jesus and his gospel. And I want to suggest to us that these are two great priorities for us to take into the year ahead, serving Jesus and his gospel and sharing Jesus and his gospel. We won't go far wrong if we take those on board and really seek to live them out this year. But what would it really look like, I wonder, for us to be devoted to serving and sharing Jesus this year? Well, let's see what it looked like for Paul. So firstly, in verses 1 to 7, we see that he's devoted to serving Jesus and his gospel. Now, Paul is writing here to a church that he didn't start. Now, that's quite rare. Most of the New Testament letters are written by Paul to a church that he was involved in getting underway. But Rome was not a place that he'd been to. This church had begun through other believers going and sharing the faith that they'd heard and learned elsewhere. And Paul, therefore, doesn't have a personal connection with this church. He's heard about their faith. He's encouraged by them, and he has a deep desire to encourage them in their faith. So this letter, if you like, is his opportunity to make a first impression on them, to set the scene for when he comes to visit. And as we all know, first impressions count, don't they? You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So what is it that Paul is going to say? What's the first thing that he wants them to know about himself? Verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. This is the very first thing that Paul wants this church in Rome to know about him. That his life and his ministry is not about him, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. This priority then shapes all that he goes on to say, both in the rest of the passage we're looking at today, but throughout the book of Romans as well. He goes on, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he, that's God, promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. You see, Paul is very clear, isn't he, here, that it is not about him, it is about God. He's under no illusions. He's not the one that they need. He's the apostle that's been given this particular role of serving the Gentiles, but they don't need him, they need Christ Jesus. And notice the word order there, Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. You know, Christ is not Jesus' surname, but his title. And Paul puts it first to say, look, I'm serving King Jesus, the Christ, the long-promised King. So here's he writes to the church in Rome, he, Paul, is not their master. Jesus, the Christ, the promised King, is. So his role, as he writes, isn't about self-promotion, building a bigger platform for himself. He's not wanting to go for his own sake, but for the sake of Jesus and his gospel. His intention in writing is not to get glory for himself, but to see Jesus glorified and Jesus' people growing in their faith. Paul hasn't chosen himself for this role. He's been appointed, hasn't he? A servant of Christ called by God to be an apostle. Set apart for the gospel of God. Good news from God. Not good news from Paul, good news of God. Which means that the good news he shares is all about and focused on the Son of God, Jesus, isn't it? Verse 3, concerning his Son. This is long promised news, verse 2, And it is all about Jesus, concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. I just want to make a point at this stage to say that any gospel, any good news that people might offer us that doesn't focus on Jesus is a false gospel. That's clear, isn't it? That Paul, the message that he's going to bring is focused on Christ. So any message that would take us away from him, any message that tries to offer us hope without him is not a true gospel good news message. Now, right at the very heart of the gospel of God's good news for our lost and broken world is the Son. Verse 3, the Son of David, meaning he's the long-promised Messiah King that God's people in the Old Testament had been waiting for and looking forward to coming. The true Son of David who would reign forever. And verse 4, the Son of God in power, the resurrected one that God has seated on heaven's throne forever. Now, verse 4 can be a little bit tricky to understand. It says Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Now, let's just be clear. Jesus is eternally the Son of God. He didn't become the Son of God by being raised from the dead. So what does verse 4 mean? Well, it's saying that Jesus at the resurrection was being declared by God loudly and clearly, God announcing to the world, this is my son. He always was, but now you see it more clearly than ever. Through the resurrection, it's a message you can't miss. This truly is the eternal Son of God, the one we all need to know, the only one who has conquered death. And as we've just been singing, who holds the keys of life and death itself. Which is why he then describes Jesus as Jesus Christ, our Lord, at the end of verse 4. Now, this is an explosive phrase that we could miss. In the culture of Rome, there was one Lord, and it wasn't Jesus. Caesar was Lord. You know, in Rome, if you said Lord, if the branding experts had been doing their jobs well, which they had, then you knew that when you were talking about Lord, you were talking about Caesar. So as Paul writes to Rome, he's saying, no, this church in Rome, your Lord is not Caesar. Our Lord is not Caesar. Our Lord is the heavenly King, Jesus. He's the one who truly reigns. This is the heavenly King who Paul serves. Verse 5, through him, through this heavenly King, through Christ Jesus our Lord, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Paul sees himself as a bit of an ambassador here, doesn't he? He's saying, look, I've received authority from Jesus to come and bring grace and the truth of the gospel to all nations, including you, who are in Rome. He's not acting on his own authority. He's acting on the authority of Jesus, just as an ambassador doesn't seek his own fame or his own purposes, but those of the nation that he serves. Paul says it's for the sake of Jesus' name that he's writing to them. For the sake of Jesus' glory and fame among all the nations. I wonder, how does that, at the start of this new year, compare with our sense of identity and purpose? How do we view ourselves and our lives? Who is in charge? Who is Lord in our lives today? If we were writing a letter to some friends elsewhere, how would we start? What would be our self-description? Would we say, Chris, a servant of Christ Jesus? Would that be the first thing we'd want to say? Is that the first thing that's on our hearts as we think about ourselves and our identities? Is our heart at the start of this new year to serve Jesus and his kingdom purposes, to lay down our lives for the sake of his name? Or is it actually to serve the kingdom of me? Serve my purposes? I wonder, how might Jesus be calling you to serve him this year? What difference would it make to the way you spend your time and invest your energy in the coming months if you really grasp this identity that is already yours in Christ, if you're following him today, that you are a servant of him, that he truly is your Lord, my Lord, our Lord? Well, for Paul, it meant that he poured out his life, didn't it, in sharing Jesus and his gospel with others. He was devoted to serving Jesus, and being devoted to serving Jesus means being devoted to sharing Jesus and his gospel with others. It's the next logical step, isn't it? So verses 5 and 6 that we've just been thinking about, he's saying, you know, the reason I've been called to this, the reason that I serve Jesus is to make his name known, to call people to faith, to put their trust in Christ. And that is what we see as we go on, is Paul's heart for the Romans too. He wants to go and share Christ and his gospel with them. That brings us to our second point. Paul is devoted to sharing Jesus and his gospel. And at this, in this new year, let's devote ourselves to sharing Jesus and his gospel too. Now, Paul could feel jealous, couldn't he, that someone else has started this church in Rome. Yeah, he might feel like, hang on, I'm the apostle for the Gentiles here. That's the role that God has given me. Is that under threat somehow? But he doesn't kind of give this sense of jealousy, does he? No, he delights in the faith that God has brought about in these men and women in Rome. And he longs to see them growing further in that faith. Verse 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." As Paul has heard about this church, he's heard about the impact they're having already. They're clearly not being shy about their faith. The impact is spreading far and wide. But Paul wants to help them grow further, to have an even greater impact for Jesus. Verse 11, "I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Now, this is the wonderful nature of Christian community. We are not alone as we seek to live our lives for Jesus. God, in his kindness, has given us a family, a global family, a diverse family, in which we help one another to grow more and more like Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've been involved in teaching someone a new skill or coaching a group of people to get better at doing something. I always love it at the choir that I'm in when we have a vocal coach come along to help the choir improve its vocal technique and give us new warm-up techniques and help us to use our voice better. Because there's great joy in getting better at something and in improving. But I know that when that happens, there's a shared enjoyment. It's a benefit for the choir, but it's also a joy for the person who's leading that session to hear and see the impact that they're having as they're teaching us. They can hear and see the improvement before their eyes. And when I'm involved in walking alongside others in faith, I have to say it's one of my favorite parts of my job, is meeting one-to-one with others and reading the Bible and seeing over a period of time people growing, people putting sin to death, of submitting their lives to Jesus, of knowing the tender mercy of God more deeply. What a joy it is to mutually encourage one another, to have this wonderful feedback loop of encouragement where if we draw alongside someone else to encourage them, actually, yes, they're encouraged, but then we're encouraged, and so it goes on. And Paul says, doesn't he, that there's something similar that goes on in the church. He longs to go to Rome and be with the Christians there in order that he might encourage them and strengthen them and help them grow in their faith. But as he goes, he knows it's not all give, give, give. It's not a one-way street. There's going to be mutual encouragement, verse 12. As he sees them trusting Jesus and living with Jesus as Lord in place of Caesar, well, his love for Jesus will be deepened too. He will be encouraged. That's his hope and his expectation. In the Christian life, we are side by side with other believers. We're brothers and sisters. We're not just in it for ourselves. We're recipients of the same grace and the same gospel. And it's a message for everyone, isn't it? Paul doesn't seem to be selective in who he wants to share the good news of Jesus with. Verse 14, he says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. The fool, anyone from the fool to the philosopher, is included. It's a message for all. And it's completely leveling, isn't it? Everyone is invited. And so, I want to encourage us this morning that we each have a gift to strengthen one another with. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus this morning, you are a gift to another person or another group of people in our church family. You have the gift of faith that you can go alongside and draw alongside someone else to walk with them and encourage them in faith. What is the gift? You might be thinking, well, I don't have anything to offer. What do I have, really, to encourage someone else with? Well, the gift is the gospel of Jesus, isn't it? That's why Paul is wanting to go to Rome. The thing he wants to share with them isn't something new. It isn't something they haven't heard already. Verse 15, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He's writing to a church. This might be a surprise. He's writing to a church. He's saying, the thing I want to bring to you to strengthen you and encourage you, it's not something new, it's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus, because he knows there's still going to be those there in that church who don't know Jesus as their Savior, but he also knows that what each and every one of us needs in order to grow in our faith, to keep walking with Jesus as our Lord, is the good news of God's kindness. That's something we all need to be reminded of and encouraged in and refreshed by day, isn't it? That's what you need. That's what I need. Because we so easily forget, we so easily lose sight of him in the midst of the busyness and the pressures of life. So I wonder, how could you encourage someone else in their faith this year? What are the opportunities that God has given you? You specifically, to share Jesus and his gospel. What would it mean for you to be devoted this year to sharing Christ with others? That's a great reminder, isn't it, that in the church we have many opportunities to do just that. That God in his wisdom and his kindness has given us a church family to encourage us and spur us on to keep going in faith. So each and every Sunday when we turn up, we have an opportunity to encourage one another. Perhaps this year you could commit yourself to praying as you come down to church. Lord, would you lead me towards someone that I can encourage in their faith today? Would you give me words to speak to them? Perhaps even this morning, there's someone you could draw alongside to remind and strengthen with the truth and the caring compassion of our King Jesus. Is there someone who you know is struggling in faith or disheartened by life circumstances? Someone who's drifting into sin or who is burdened by the pressures of life? Well, God has given us one another for these very moments. Perhaps you're the one struggling this morning. Let me encourage you to share those struggles, to ask someone to help you, to pray with you this morning. There's a mindset shift here, isn't there? Do we turn up to church expecting it all to be one way? Are we here to receive? Or are we also here to give to others? Do we come with a desire to bless and encourage, to see those opportunities and to take them? Another way that perhaps you want to take these opportunities at the start of this new year could be to join or recommit yourself to being part of a gospel team, our small groups that meet during the week, or our Aleph group. They can be brilliant places to encourage one another and to experience this mutual encouragement that Paul describes here. Or perhaps, as we were thinking about earlier, as Louisa was sharing with us about her experiences of meeting one-to-one with another Christian to read the Bible or to read Christian books and to pray. Perhaps you could think about meeting with someone to share faith in that way this year. There are many opportunities, aren't there? If we have eyes to see them and a willingness to take them. And these are just the opportunities that we have through church. Because, of course, as Paul goes to Rome and he has this desire to preach the gospel, he doesn't just intend it for those who already know Jesus, but he has a heart for those who don't yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord as well. And so as we consider what it might look like for us to devote ourselves to sharing Christ at the start of this year, there are lots of other opportunities as well, aren't there? Let's take some time to think, how could we share Jesus and his gospel with the neighbours on our streets, with the colleagues that God has put us alongside in our workplaces, with our friends and our family members who don't yet know Jesus? I wonder, do we see both the opportunity and the responsibility that we've been given to share Christ? How will ye make the most of those opportunities this year? You know what, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions because I've far too often made them and not kept them, as I'm sure many of us have. They're far too easily and quickly forgotten and fade into the background. But I want to encourage us to prayerfully resolve in our hearts this morning to be devoted to serving Jesus wholeheartedly and his gospel in 2022, and to sharing Jesus and his gospel in 2022 with whoever we can. Those truly are some goals worth aspiring to this new year, aren't they? They're not ones that we can do on our own or in our own strength. But if we truly own them and by the power of God's Spirit seek to live them, they will transform and change everything, won't they? So let me pray that is the kind of church and the kind of people that we would be this year. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the Lord Jesus who laid down his life for us. Thank you that we have such a King who gave everything for us. Lord, who came as the true servant King. Lord, we pray that this year we would serve King Jesus with all that we are and all that we have, and that we would be devoted to sharing him and his gospel whenever and wherever we can. For your most glorious name's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to see.